This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. A global music festival that traces its roots to the 90s feminist punk rock scene known as Riot Girl returns to Greater Boston this weekend. Now in its second decade, Ladyfest combines music, art, and activism. WBUR artery reporter Amelia Mason takes a look at what's changed since the festival began.
For five nights in August of 2000, people packed the Capitol Theater in Olympia, Washington for the first ever Lady Fest. The lineup featured first-generation Riot Girl bands like this one, Slater Kinney, as well as indie rock heavies like Cat Power and Nico Case.
You know, it was like someone opened a door and I walked in and I was allowed to be there.
Vancouver musician Rose Melberg was there with her band, The Softies.
It just felt different. I felt like surrounded by women, surrounded by feminist ideas, surrounded by art made by women, you know, everything about it felt safe.
At night, Ladyfest hummed with music and dance parties and after-hour drag shows. But the daytime was dedicated to activism. There were workshops in self-defense, labor organizing, and auto mechanics, and panels on trans issues and sex work.
And that it was all being organized by women, and, you know, the scope of Ladyfest was so far beyond just what we had been talking about in our sort of young punk rock feminism. This was so much bigger.
In the years since, musicians and activists have organized their own Ladyfests in cities all over the world, from Atlanta to London to Shanghai. Boston hosted its first Ladyfest in 2012, and this month, a new group of organizers will bring it back. The lineup features indie rock headliners Sad 13 and Colleen Green, as well as local bands like this one, Birthing Hips. Ladyfest Boston follows in the footsteps of its namesake, a scrappy DIY affair with workshops on how to make zines, engineer sound, and prevent sexual violence in the music scene. The profits will go to local advocacy groups. But as Ladyfest comes up on two decades, it grapples with an issue that has dogged Riot Girl and the wider feminist movement for years.
The early 90s punk feminism, there have been criticisms that it was very exclusive. It was a lot of pretty middle-class white women with a very comfortable kind of feminism.
In other words, what good is feminism if it only benefits a small, privileged subset of women? And what good is a feminist music festival if it overlooks the most marginalized artists? These questions were evidently on the minds of Ladyfest's creators. The original event included workshops addressing not just sexism, but racism, poverty, and transgender rights. Recent years have seen a growing mainstream awareness of feminism's need for diversity and inclusion. Ladyfest Boston organizer Zoe Weiner says the organizing committee took these concerns to heart.
I think that we've really made a concerted effort to be aware of representing as many different populations as we can in the amount of time that we can.
It's not just about the optics of a diverse lineup. Activists say that inclusivity in the arts and in feminism is important for very practical reasons.
I feel like it's a redistribution of wealth.
Dee Dee Delgado is a co-founder of the Society of Urban Poetry and an organizer with Black Lives Matter Cambridge.
And wealth not meaning so much monetary, but wealth as in a lot of spaces that are primarily white or primarily cisgendered hold a lot of resources that persons that don't look like that or are the opposite of that don't have.
Ladyfest carries clout, and its performers stand to benefit from that. Performers like the Western Mass band Loon.
As a trans woman, I feel that sometimes within DIY scenes, I've been forced to, for my comfort, for my safety, for my survival, find little nooks and notches and bubbles in which I can do my work.
Alyssa Kai, Loon's drummer, says she hasn't always felt welcome or even safe in New England's underground music scene. She says she's been the target of verbal abuse at shows. So she sticks to familiar circles where she feels comfortable. Ladyfest is a bigger platform for Loon and an exciting opportunity. At the same time, it's one Kai is approaching with caution.
a lot of DIY scenes, for example, like, will take on a buzzword like transmisogyny and will do its best to sort of integrate that and then stop doing work because it thinks that it has integrated that. It's a sort of optimism that we have arrived, we have come into our own, and we are right, and we don't need to think anymore. It's something that I want to constantly push back against as I try to enter feminist spaces.
That is, just because Ladyfest has lofty goals doesn't mean it achieves them. For instance, despite the focus on diversity, Ladyfest Boston's lineup still skews white, as does its organizing committee. But the committee is also entirely women, a rarity even today. Rose Melberg, who was there at the first iteration 17 years ago, and whose current band Knife Pleats, this band, will perform at Ladyfest Boston, says events like Ladyfest are as important today.
Any rock show on any given night of the week, you know, it's still 90-95% men, and all male bands or predominantly male bands, and that shockingly hasn't changed. And so things like Ladyfest, where it's a space where, like, I bet you had no idea how many women there were playing music in this one town or in this one area. And so a thing like Ladyfest puts it all in one place.
This weekend, Ladyfest Boston will put it all in one place too. Music, art, and feminism in all their imperfections and possibilities. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Amelia Mason.